Well, it's been a full morning already, and I hope you still have room for a little bit more. I used to have a pastor who'd say he would preach himself empty, and then he'd sit down. I have enough on my plate to extend us well past 9:30, so strap in. No, not really. This will be maybe the shortest sermon you've heard me preach. But today is finally here. I have not, just in all honesty, I've not been looking forward to this Sunday. I'm sad. I'm sad this morning. I'm sad to leave. I haven't really been looking forward to today. I've had a difficult time discerning what God might want me to say at such a time as this. I thought about ending as I began, preaching the only message that I really have to preach, that God loves us exactly the way we are, and yet way too much to let us remain the same. But you've heard that well enough. I am so glad, though, that that has resonated with many of you as it has so deeply with me. But that is not the message I'm supposed to preach today. I thought about preaching on that beautiful passage in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth in which he celebrates how each of us are co-laborers with God, each of us having our parts to play, and each of us having seasons to work in building God's kingdom. Some of us plant, others water, Paul writes, but God is the one who makes it grow. It's a powerful reminder to me to not place my hope or the lack thereof with or in spite of a particular person or leader. God is the one in whom my hope is found. God is the one whom I continually need to choose to trust. But ultimately, the scripture, that wasn't the scripture for today either. Instead, I was led to the one you see in your bulletin from the prophet Jeremiah chapter 17, just two verses, 7 and 8. Two verses that have for a number of years now become ones upon which I lean regularly. And so I'm going to invite you not just to follow along, but in the spirit of being co-laborers, I'm going to invite you to read it aloud with me. So you can follow along on the screens or use your own Bibles. But let's read this together out loud. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Well done. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I give thanks for this morning and for such a time as this, and I give thanks for all of the ways your Spirit nourishes us in times of drought and in times of rain, in times of much fruit bearing, and in times like the winter months, when life on the surface seems stagnant, but underneath the soil, your Spirit continues to nourish and mold and prepare us for what's ahead. And so, God, I pray one more time that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this verse has been one that, as I said, has been speaking to me for a while now. I find it to be convicting and challenging that in every season of life, am I still bearing fruit for God? Sometimes it can be easy to feel like the victim or that we don't have agency in a situation. But one of the things this verse reminds me of is that there is always a choice. There is always agency that each of us have in how we respond to life. And even deeper than that, there is always the God who continues to nourish and give life in every single season. And man, I've come back to this passage many times in seasons where life is just overflowing and great and wonderful and full of joy, and other times when it's a season of drought and I am just so overwhelmed and burdened and I think, my goodness, the last thing I want to think about is growing faithfully and continuing to bear fruit. And yet, God's words continue to challenge me I think often alongside this of Julian of Norwich, who was around in the 16th century and has written some beautiful, beautiful writings for the church. And one of my favorite things that Julian says is this: all shall be well. And all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. She has these visions of Jesus, and that's one of the things that he says to her, that all shall be well. And I want to thank you for making my life one that has been so blessed and made so well these past 3 years. I want to thank you for helping me grow these past 3 years. For helping me bear fruit, for nourishing me when life is good, and for coming alongside me when life is hard and when my own soul feels like it's a season of drought. One of the things I talked about with those who come early at 8:10 every morning to pray with Kevin and myself is I'm reminded that story in Exodus when Moses is holding up the staff as the seas are parting and his arms are getting tired, and some friends come alongside him and hold up his arms so that the waters would not cave in on the people, but his arms might continue to hold it up. I'm reminded of all the people, you, who have come alongside me to hold up my arms when they've gotten tired, to continue to nourish and to pour and speak truth and life into me when I needed it the most. I am thankful for you for helping me grow professionally and personally, spiritually, and even with the growth of my family. 3 years ago, I came in with 2 kids. I have proof of this. There's a picture that we were looking at. And I'm leaving with 4. A lot has changed these last 3 years. And I'm thankful because my kids have loved coming here. One of the greatest joys is seeing my 2 girls, the oldest, come for vacation Bible school just a week ago and singing and dancing. And even though my little preschooler was so tired, because that's well past her bedtime, she was overjoyed to make it here every single night. I love the ways you have loved my family so well and helped them grow. And I know that today I am closer to Jesus than I was 3 years ago. And you all played a significant role in that. So once again, I say thank you. Change, though, has been somewhat of a constant for us, hasn't it? I was thinking back 3 years ago, I considered myself, and I still do, to be an original IKEA or original Fishers resident because I was here before IKEA. I was a pre-IKEA resident of Fishers, Indiana. Pre-Topgolf, pre-Portillo's. A lot has changed in 3 years. And there's a risk in that, in times of change. A risk that when life is changing, when our life seems out of control, when the world around us continues to change and seem out of control, there's a risk to hold tighter to life, to what we believe in, to what we have, to how much we have. In the church, there's an axiom that says that the more the world changes, the more folks want their church to remain the same. There's a risk when life changes, when church changes, when community changes, when pastors change, to want to hold tighter, to want to go back, to not want to let go, to not want to continue on. Change can be an inhibitor. But both you and I know that that is not God's voice that tells us or invites us to do that. Because you and I both know that change is, of course, inevitable, and inevitably, change can be that through which God works to spur us on closer to Jesus Christ. It is the wise author of Ecclesiastes who writes that there is a season for everything under the sun. No, that's not originally to the birds. See, so Linda, I get that. And there are people in this room who are too young to know that reference. So I feel very wise right now in my graying age. Speaking of which, I have a lot more gray hairs now than I did 3 years ago. to turn. There's a time that Ecclesiastes writes, to plant, time to uproot, a time to tear down, a time to sew together, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. Throughout the Testaments, there is a reoccurring motif of change and how God does not abandon us in change, but rather dives into the messiness of change to be with us through it all and in it all. There's always this motif of God, unfortunately, rarely rescuing us from the storms of life. How much better it would have been for Daniel had he not had to go into the lion's den. But nevertheless, there he was. And so too was God. Same thing for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I still lament that I could not get my last son to be named one of those three names. They weren't saved from the fire, but God was with them in it. The disciples and the storms were not delivered from them, but Jesus was with them. Throughout all the seasons of life, the good times, the bad, the flourishing and the droughts, there God is. And I'm so thankful that we understand that so well, because we know that in all seasons, God loves us just as we are. And we also know that God loves us way too much to let us remain the same. I had to sneak it in one more time. Because God is the one who's the author of change, who invites us to change ourselves to become more and more like Jesus Christ, be transformed, the Bible tells us, by the renewing of our minds to become more like Jesus. And I'm so thankful for the ways that we have changed so well together, for the ministries that we've gotten to share together these past 3 years, for the ones that we are still in the midst of, and for the ministries that will continue on. I give thanks. I'm reminded, as I've been thinking back over my time here and your faithfulness to Jesus Christ, this church, and to ministry, of a speech that Martin Luther King Jr. gave, one of his last, that begins with this expression of gratitude for persons who filled the room in which he was speaking, even though there were horrific storms going on outside. To the group who endured the storms, who risked their own safety and their own dryness to walk and make their way to hear Martin Luther King speak, he celebrated, saying that it showed that they were determined to go on anyhow. And friends, that is my prayer and that is my hope for you and for me, that we would be determined to go on anyhow. Yes, through the changes of pastors here at this church and for the changes of pastors at Ridge United Methodist up in Munster, Indiana, but also in every season in which you find yourself, that you would be determined to go on with Jesus anyhow. In the highs, in the lows, in the celebrations, in the frustrations, that your determination, that your agency, that your choice would continue to be nothing less and no one else than Jesus our Christ. May you be determined to go on anyhow. And as my time comes to an end, I just want to thank you one more time for letting me be one of your pastors. It has been one of the greatest joys of my life. But after this morning, that will no longer be the case. I will no longer be one of your pastors anymore. I won't marry or bury or baptize you. That will continue to be for Pastor Kevin to do and Pastor Ben when he arrives. I will, however, get to be your friend. I will get to celebrate at your weddings. I will grieve at your funerals, and I look forward to rejoicing at your baptisms. I won't be your pastor anymore, but I will always be your friend. Which leads to one final change. For me to pass the baton to Pastor Ben. My appointed season for carrying it has come to an end. And in a couple weeks, it'll be Pastor Ben's turn to pick it up and run the race set before him. I thank you for these past 3 years, and I look forward to the years of friendship that we'll carry on. And so in that spirit, I'm going to invite you to join with me in a liturgy found on the screens that comes from a blessing and a letting go, a farewell liturgy. And I'm going to begin it, and then at the appropriate time, I invite you to join in. But hear these words. I thank you, the members and friends of Fishers United Methodist Church, for the love and the support you have shown me while I've ministered among you. I'm grateful for the ways that my leadership has been accepted, and I ask for the forgiveness for the mistakes I have made. As I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here. I accept your gratitude and forgiveness, and I forgive you, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. I release you from turning to me and depending on me. I encourage your continuing ministry here and will pray for you and for your new pastor. And so, friends, let us pray together. Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting, we give you thanks for cherished moments and commend one another into your care as we move in new directions. Keep us one in your love forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.